The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki.
Hey, everyone. It's Nikki Glaser. Welcome to the Nikki Glaser Podcast. I was just going to do an impression of my mom, and then I looked down and my mom was calling me. I should have picked up, but it hung up on her. I think it was a butt dial. She rarely calls me. Nick. Wait, I wonder what she would say. Nick, what are they, where did you get that, what's the name of that site again that you use? Push on it, push mat, Poshmark mom. She's so disappointed me in those boots that she opened up. I just saw the disappointment on her face. If it goes, what'd you pay, $20? Oh, 42. All right, sorry, you're coming. Not a big deal. Just kidding. Thank you for all the replies yesterday about my mom. I got a lot of DMs being like, wow, we've never really heard her. And you sound exactly like her when you do an impression. I thought she killed it. And, you know, afterwards I was running around frantically trying to get to my next thing. And I didn't have time to go like, I did say like, great job. That was awesome. You know, all the things you say after a performance is done. But while I'm like uploading video and like, you know, just mom, that was seriously so good. Thank you so much. And, you know, I could just tell she was just like, was that good? And I'm just, it's so interesting. People that don't work regularly in, you know, podcasting or broadcast, whatever it is, I forget they need validation. And why do I forget that? I mean, I need it so much too. I think the problem with my mom is, and I later was telling my dad, is that when you give it, she negates it. Goes, I was terrible. No. Mom, I got a DM about how beautiful you were this weekend. I sent her the screenshot of like someone who met her and was like, God, your mom's beautiful. They'll say anything. Okay, well, they also said that they enjoyed my show. Well, it was good. It's just like, okay. So eventually you just stop giving people compliments if they can't take them. And it always brings me back to that Inside Amy Schumer sketch of that I did, I think it was first season for her show, where a bunch of girls are meeting up to give each other compliments, or like meeting up to sprint into each other in the park, giving each other compliments, and none of us can take compliments, or none of the girls are like, they're all just like, no, oh my God, I'm like disgusting. Oh my God. Like what did they say? They're like, oh my God, you have like, your tits are amazing. They're like Katy Perry's. And they're like, yeah, if Katy Perry's tits were the Holocaust. It was just like stuff like that. Like, yeah, right. I'm disgusting. One girl's pregnant. And she's like, oh my God, you're pregnant. She's like, are you kidding me? I'm like 100 years old. When I birth this thing, it's just going to be like a bunch of cobwebs. Like just every girl negating the compliments. And then I stroll up and they're like, oh my God, I love your jacket. And I'm like, thanks. And all the girls are just like, what? Like they can't understand a girl that would take a compliment. And then everyone's head explodes. One girl walks into traffic. Another girl just takes a gun out of her purse and blows her head off just because they can't handle. It's really funny. I just ruined it for you. But yeah, yesterday I was doing something and every girl that worked at this place was like gorgeous. And I said to my friend who is a manager there and, you know, like runs it, I go, what is this? What you're hiring models. I go, this isn't, you know, Hooters. But I mean, I couldn't think of an example of a place that hires beautiful women. Like this isn't, what's the name of like a nice club? Literally, my references are so terrible. I need to like expose myself to more things. I need to read more. What's like a place that hires like super hot women? You know what I said? I ended up going, this is like the, because it was like a place where you rent canoes. I go, this is the pretty woman, like big mistake, huge. Of outdoor activities, because it just seemed like all the girls there were like better than me and so hot. What's like a club? Like if I was to say Noah, what is an exclusive club where all the women that work there are hot? Like, you know, one of the Hyde. That's all I can think of. I know that was a cool place to go to.
Oh, I guess the first, I didn't realize it was a club, but the first thing that came to mind is European Wax Center.
Oh my God, that's a great reference. All the women there are so beautiful.
Yeah, like all the receptionists are just stunning.
And oh my God, you are so right about that. It's so funny because my friend used to go there to get his back laser hair removed.
Yeah.
And he used to have stress about it because he was like, the receptionists are so hot. It's so funny you would say that. See, this is the joy of having people in your life that aren't comedians, because you can go, what's the first thing you think of when you think of this? And then they say something and you're like, that's more genius and on point than anything I could have come up with in my brain. So I'm going to use that next as my example. When there's
you
like
said
a bunch
it, not
of,
me.
No, European Wax Center is so funny because everyone either knows about that place and it seems like a place that hot girls would work, or you've been there and it's actually verified. Yeah. But yesterday, Noah, there was a girl there at this place, younger girl, and she had pink, hot pink, like eyeliner under her eyelash, like not over, like the bottom, hot pink, which putting pink next to your eye, let's be honest, kind of a risk, because there is an affliction called a pink eye. So if you're not, if you're dealing with like a kind of bacterial infection pink color, you're treading into territory. So today I did a hot pink under eyeliner, which I used a lip pencil liner. And I don't know what it's going to look like from a far off shot. You can see it on the YouTube in a couple days when this uploads. You know, we have a YouTube channel now. You can see all of my Taylor Swift shirts that I've been wearing now. I think this is probably day 11. I'm kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel. I'm saving some faves for later, but this one is just, you know, this one is very understated. People might say, that's not a Taylor Swift shirt. You're damn right it is. It's from the Reputation tour. It's a tank top. It's a muscle tee. I love a good muscle tee. What do you think about pink under the eye eyeliner?
Okay, I used to have a pink eyeshadow that I really loved. And yes. I think that red is a primary color of green, and my eyes are green. So, like, the pink tone popped out my yes. green color more.
Yes.
So I loved it.
And blonde classically looks great with pink. That is kind of
yeah.
why I love pink so much. It's whenever I wear that color, people go, oh, my God, you look amazing. Like, it's just a good color on me. I think it's because of the blonde hair. Maybe my skin tone when I spray Sally Hansen. But you're right about that. You know what taught me about the eye color and like what colors you should use?
What?
Was that Almay campaign back in probably 2007, 8. Does anyone remember that? I know I'm going to get DMs from girls. They would give you a palette. I think they still do it. And it's like what color your eye is. And then it's like a brown, blue. For me, it was brown, blue, like taupe or like gold. And it was for like blue eyes. And they weren't wrong. Like those colors, browns do suit me more than, you know, other colors. But, yeah, I love learning little makeup tricks that I never thought of. I just go to this girl, do you have pink eyeliner under the, under, not over, under? And she goes, yeah. And I'm like, I'm stealing that look. Even though she was like definitely a different complexion than me, different hair, everything, couldn't be more different than me. But I was very into it. Noah, how was your day yesterday?
My day was great, I think.
What'd
I don't
you
know.
Do?
I can't even remember what yesterday was, to be honest with you.
I know.
Everything
but
just,
you're
just
in,
like,
can we do a BSB check?
Okay.
Body.
Body, not that great. I took a class on Saturday. It was like a tribute class for someone at my gym who passed away, and they did like a seminar with some black belts and stuff. It's a jiu-jitsu gym. Mm-hmm. And I did a move where I had to do a roll, and I rolled on my neck the wrong way. So I've just kind of like been off and just kind of like dealing with a neck, like a muscle spasm, which stinks, but it's almost gone. So I'm very happy about that.
I want to massage it for you so bad. Would that feel good? To like dig into it?
Yes. I mean, no? Avi, he's been massaging it and putting Tiger Balm and stuff. And mm-hmm. when he massages it, it just feels like he's like putting a knife in my back and like just like moving it around, but it does feel good.
Is it the way he's massaging, or does he do everything like he does the soundtrack or the intro for Fanthrax?
He just yells in my like, ear while he
he's
does
a commander,
it.
Right? So he. Any massage feels like a knife.
It's just a byproduct of having this muscle spasm because it, locks in the back of my neck, but it affects my shoulder and my upper back.
Oh yeah,
it's like a octopus.
What's it called when they say that? It goes. It's. I watch so many massage videos on ASMR. I usually know the word for when it like radiates down. There's like a special word for that. And affects so many things. Yeah. Forget the name for it, but very common.
Sciatica?
Well, sciatica, yeah. But the word for it radiating down your leg, it's God, I forget. It's like, oh, that's a blank spot. Like it means that it has impact everywhere, which really everywhere on your body has effect everywhere else. But I'm sorry. Okay, so body is not great. Spirit?
Spirit's good.
School spirit?
School spirit's good. Buzzy is getting, I keep forgetting what it is for boys, but he's getting snipped tomorrow. And I'm a little bit.
Yeah, spayed, I think.
Spayed or neutered? Spayed?
I think spayed. For boys. Because all of my dogs were spayed, and I've only had male dogs besides Marion.
Okay. So he's getting spayed tomorrow. And yeah. I'm just having a little bit of a, I don't know.
Mom.
I'm just nervous.
Daddy? Yeah. Why?
I don't like the thought of him being
scared.
Not scared, like anesthetized. I don't know. I just have a
like
fear.
Not
of
not feeling, not having natural like cat impulses to fuck.
No.
Anesthetized. No, the anesthesia.
Yeah. Being put to sleep.
Got it.
Or whatever, temporarily.
Yeah, because. I just took Luigi in for a checkup to get anxiety meds. I got him on Prozac, and he is going to get a dental. That's what they call it. It's pretty much just like tooth cleaning, and they have to anesthetize him for it. I'm like,
yes.
Isn't that kind of like adding danger to the whole thing? Like, sometimes they don't wake up from that.
It depends on the age.
Okay,
he's in a pretty good age category.
I feel like most spayings like. I really don't hear many times of dogs being, you know, not waking up or cats not waking up. But I understand the anxiety of that. That was the moment that I knew Luigi was mine to keep when I was fostering him, was when he went and got spayed and the technician had him on the, they had to muzzle him because he was so freaked out and biting, you know. And at that point, he wasn't even like warmed up to me that much. He was just barely, I had him probably for like 4 days and he was just kind of like, I don't trust you, bitch. And then when he was on the table and the technician had muzzled him and was like, you know, checking him, like feeling his glands and stuff. And Luigi just looked at me. And I think I've told this before, but he looked at me when I was waiting in the chair right next to him. Like, mom, like do something. Like the eyes were like looking to me like you look after me. That look. I just like got in my car and was like sobbing because it was just like. Something finally depends on me and loves me. And that was the moment I knew that he loved me and I loved him. Like I was all he had in that world. And he just like, I think he had to in that moment just accept me because I was the only one that was, and then I just go bye bitch. And I left and went to Starbucks. No, but then after that, I just cried in my car. I was like, I know it's him because of that look of like, mama.
I wonder though, what do they do with the balls? What are they going to do with Buzzy's balls after they take them off?
Do you know? You can get an anklet made or a keychain. I don't know. I mean, I'm guessing just in the trash. Right?
So
they recycle them.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm going to ask, though, because I'm so curious.
Yeah. I mean, that's a great question. I think you should ask that. I was talking to my vet the other day and was talking about, you know, I've heard anecdotally, I think, or maybe on Reddit somewhere, which you can only trust that so much, that veterinarians are the number one. They kill themselves more than any profession. And we always used to hear dentists were that, which I don't know where that came from, but it's vets. And even the vet said it. She was like, yeah, you know, we are prone to depression because we get into this because we have like massive amounts of empathy. And it was more about, I was like, oh, yeah, because I hear like you get into this business to save animals and you end up putting them down all day. She was like, it is that, but it's more that, you know, if someone cries, like because I am involved with animals, I'm generally people who love animals are very empathetic to not only animals, but people as well. And not only is it sad to put down a dog, which happens all the time and is the way we, is the gentle way we end most pets' lives, which is so weird to me that that's like the best decision. But in a human's life, it's just like, no, just suffer till the very end, until your body just like, you know, you, till you choke on your own fucking, you know, lung tissue. But, and if you let a human, if you let an animal die the way we let our grandparents die, you would be cruel and selfish, but that's neither here nor there. But it is, it's both here and there. But what they, she said is, it's just so sad. Like people, when they're putting down their pets, they're in the, probably one of the worst states they've ever been in. And so she has to comfort, you know, when the vet is there, if your vet's just cold and not there to comfort you or hug you or kind of like treat you like this is more special than the other ones, like they do it all day. You know, she says sometimes there's like 13 in a day was her worst day. And I'm like, how do you make each of those people feel special? Like, and how do you let that in without, you know, if all day you're watching people just like, like sobbing, how do you walk away from that? And like, I'm going to go home and watch Grey's Anatomy. Like you just, and so she was talking about, I, you know, I get people to open up about things they don't want to open up about almost immediately. And I felt a little bit like, why are we on this subject? And I hope this woman's okay sharing this. Cause you know, there were cameras following me around. I still don't know why, guys.
Who knows?
I don't get it, but there were cameras there. And I was talking to her about how, you know, I want to get Luigi meds because I'm on meds. Why do I, again, it's like the euthanization thing. Why do I get to experience some relief from this? But giving your dog Prozac is like a, you know, late night monologue joke. I just remember Jay Leno being like, eh, you hear that? People are giving their dogs Prozac. Like, it was just like, oh, that's so stupid. Dogs aren't people, stop it. It's like, if your dog can find relief from it, why wouldn't you give it to him? So I was telling her that and I was like, you know, I love therapy. And she's like, oh, girl, me too. She said to me that she goes to do EMDR, whatever the one is that isn't a music genre. That rapid eye movement thing. You've heard of it, Noah, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, dude, that's the one I want to do. Because right before I went for F-Boy Island, and I wasn't doing a podcast then, so you guys don't know this, but I went to Whitney Cummings gave me actually her therapist. And you know, she gave me a lot of things. She gave me clothes. She, when I come to visit her, she gives me books, just workbooks to like heal. She's amazing. Such a good friend. And she gave me her therapist. She gave me a nutritionist. She gave me all like all this stuff. And she's like, I'll pay for it. Like, she's just like, I'll, you know, she's just so generous. I love her to death. And she gave me this woman and we were going to start EDMR. Well, the woman is in LA. I'm in St. Louis. So I bought the system. So it's, you hold these little paddles. It's like Scientology. Like at first it feels like, is this like a, you know, what do they call it in Scientology when you're doing, when you're telling them all their secrets so you, they can use it against you if you ever try to leave. You know, it's a dumb word, but it felt like that. But instead it's like these paddles buzz and they create pulses back and forth just to like switch your focus, I think. And then what, if you want to look into it, if you have like a lot of trauma, and even if you don't, like, I don't have specified trauma. I have like, you know, I don't have like car accidents or specific abuse that happened to me, but it's kind of like this, or maybe I do. This will go in there. If you have PTSD, this goes in there instead of talk therapy where you're just talking for years and years. This can get in there and just target it right away. The place in your brain that is keeping you stuck in that moment and literally resolve it. And it's all based on your eye movement. And it's just a very pointed technique. So anyway, I found someone locally who's going to do it. And that was honestly, I did Jamila Jamil's podcast a while back. And we both have kind of come to the same place with our body image and like accepting our bodies and like not starving ourselves anymore and all these things. And I kind of shared with her offline like how I did it. And she shared with me online how she did it. And her technique was EDMR. And so if you're someone out there who is struggling with that kind of stuff or literally any trauma, I just recommend looking into that. I have a lot of friends who have done it and who have seen like amazing, really quick results with trauma, work and just, you know, and it doesn't have to be major and massive and like, oh, I don't deserve to do it because I didn't go to war. I don't deserve to do it because my parents were cool. Like, there's stuff in there. It can, you can benefit from it. So I have a machine, so I'm going to start going because this vet gave me the card. Anyway, that's my story. I'm sticking to it. Let's get Andrew in here. And I want to know how he was able to turn off our fire alarms when yesterday my mom and I were trying to get the beeping to stop. And I know, I understand that means the batteries need to be changed. I know. But I needed the beeping to stop and I don't have batteries yet. And they're hooked to the wall and there's no batteries. So I don't know what's going on. I'm going to call the building. Anyway, my mom and I had to stack a chair with a suitcase on top and she had to hold it steady. Andrew, who is as tall as me, just seems to make them stop right away. I need to know his secret. Andrew! What up, Andrew? Welcome back.
I was pooping.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You've been pooping a lot.
Yeah.
You pooped last night, this morning, and then again this morning.
Yeah, three. Why? How much do you poop?
I mean, I would say twice a day. Like once, maybe once a day. Actually, once a day on Av.
Yeah, I'm definitely more than that. I don't know.
But I also engage in sex that makes me have to like get it all out once a day.
No, but you would think you'd poop more.
No, I just have it stacked up. So it's like once a day, ready to go. And then like sometimes twice a day, sometimes three.
Do you know exactly what time?
No, but like if I know I'm going to be engaging in activities back there, I need about 15 minutes now and good to go.
Can I ask you a personal question?
Only.
Last night.
Yeah.
When I went to my room for a second, did you go prepare yourself and come out like, I'm ready for you, master?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought, yeah, it's like I always make him wait in the waiting room.
I could feel you come out and go, your order is ready. Like, yeah, that's how your face
I've done that before.
I was like,
because I go in the other room and I don't like him in my bedroom while I'm in my bathroom because you can just, there's stuff you hear. And I blast the, like, toilet.
Wait,
no, I blast. Hold on.
It's sounding okay. As a person outside
as a
the
listener.
Room,
yeah.
As a listener, it sounds like you are preparing yourself for Andrew.
Oh no.
Oh, no. Someone was here.
My partner.
Oh, okay.
My sexual partner was here last
night. I didn't know that part.
And I always, whenever he always goes, last night I got a little horny for him. Unexpectedly, I didn't think I was going to engage in this act because we were just hanging out. But we always do. Like, we never don't if he comes over. Like, I wanted to do more than just give a blowjob. You know, like, I wanted to receive some stuff, which I can, but I wanted it to involve his penis.
His ding-a-ling.
Yeah. So, like, down there, I wanted it to involve his penis. Yeah. Like, he could do toys on me, but, like, I enjoy that act. It's not like I'm like, it's the only thing I can do. It's like, I like it. So, I wasn't in the mood to, like, prepare because it takes so long. And I'm sorry to anyone who doesn't want to hear any of this, but I do believe that education about how to, I was someone who was having this kind of sex. I want to call it something else. I hate the word.
Yeah. Maybe asshole sex. Is that better? Or butthole? Fill my butthole. Or, oh my God, my duty hole. Something like that. Brown stain.
Rectal ramming.
Oh, rectal ramming. Yeah.
So kind of, I was railroad crossing. Let's call it railroading. No, that sounds worse. RR. R&R.
Let's call it Obamacare.
Rest and relaxation.
Obamacare.
R&R.
Okay.
A little R&R for rectal ramming, but we all know what I'm talking about when I say R&R.
Yeah, we're talking about
Obamacare. But it sounds like rest and relaxation. Okay, so I enjoy a little RR and a lot of it, actually. And I think that even though I've been doing it a really long time, and it used to be more of like a delicacy and more of a special occasion thing when I was in a relationship. Now it's become a staple of my life. And I really want to put out there that it should be that way for other people as well. And like, I wish I would have done the research and I was too scared to try because I was so scared of the stigma of being someone who like buys the tools to make it efficient, mm-hmm. because then it's like you're this, that's your thing. Yeah. And then you have to like where you put all those things. And then it's like, if you're investing in that, then what's wrong with you? But it has led to like such a great experience that A, I don't worry about getting pregnant. I don't have to be on any birth control because of it. I never worry about any residual stuff happening. I'm as free as if it were in my vagina. I feel very clean. I feel like it's made me balance my diet better. It feels amazing. It's connective and enjoyable and very intimate. And it feels so good, but I wouldn't, you know, I do a bit about it now, which is not even a bit, but I go, you know, I wish everyone would be more open to anal. I really just do, and no pun intended, whatever. Like, I just, I understand because I hear so many girls going, I've tried it. No, 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 no. I've tried it. I hear you, and I'm sure it did hurt. But unless, when you tried it, did you use all the lube in the land? Like, literally all of it. Like a whole bottle of it. Did you use so much?
What if the argument is if you need to use that much lube, maybe naturally it's not supposed to happen.
I get that. But are you naturally supposed to be swinging a golf club with a glove and like weird spikes on your shoes? None of that's natural, but it's still enjoyable.
Okay. Gotcha. Good argument.
And also it feels so good. I'm not.
But leave the golf glove out of it.
Yeah, that's true. Unless it is black or brown.
Don't quit.
I just picture your white glove, and I'm like, that's going to be a whole thing.
What about the communication part of it? There's a lot of communication. That's another thing I say.
Do you use all the lube in the land? If you can't say yes to all of these, then you have not tried anal, in my opinion. You should give it another shot. Have you come once or twice, vaginally or clitorally, so that you are relaxed enough for your body to receive further penetration? Or have you been on the brink of climax? Like, are you extremely relaxed with at least 20 to 30 minutes of foreplay that is just dedicated to your vagina and your pleasure and not his? Okay, if you can't answer yes to that, you haven't tried it. Number three, have you taken cleaned yourself out in a way that has made you feel less knowing that nothing's going to happen? Or if something does happen, it's truly not your fault because you did everything you could. Do you have a partner
Wait, is this number four?
Do you have a brown towel down? How now, brown towel? Or a black towel? Do you have a partner who, if something does happen, you could probably look them in the face again? And they are understanding and compassionate. That was number five, six.
Well, that was four. We're okay, on five.
No, brown towel was four.
Oh.
How now, brown towel? Five is partner.
Six.
Number six is, do you... I want a list. I want the people on the YouTube channel to make a list next to me. Yeah. Did you get warmed up with fingers, maybe a tongue, a smaller thing?
You keep numbering.
Sorry, I'm just a smaller thing than what is about to enter you. And number seven, do you like it? Do you want to experience more pleasure in your life? And are you interested in actually doing this, or are you doing it for you? Or are you doing it for them? Now, if the answer is you're doing it for them, sorry, we're getting the numbers confused. But let me just say, sub note on, are you doing it for them? If you're doing it for them and it's turning you on to do it for them, you're good to go. But if you're doing it for them because you just want them to like you more, obviously not good to go.
I think
then you can say you've tried it. If you don't like it after that, you can say you've tried it, and then we can talk.
Seven in R&R heaven. That's what they call it. That's the list. Okay, question. You are a very hard worker. When you get your mind onto something, you're extremely motivated. Now, if you're a lazy couple, I feel like out there, the idea of 30 minutes of foreplay as well as like different steps to get your butt ready.
Then you shouldn't do it.
Yeah. I just think that's where
you shouldn't do it.
I think that's because I think all those steps.
And by the way,
will
lazy
scare
couple
people.
Equals. No. 30 minutes of foreplay. Do you think that's too much?
I think for a regular couple that just wants to fuck, like.
Oh, not for. Like maybe just like. penis and vagina. Like, you can have sex. Like, make her come, like, oh, once or twice, and mm-hmm. maybe you don't come so you can actually be interested in what you're doing.
No, I think you can do that, but I'm just
or
saying...
Or with a toy.
I'm just saying, if every time you have to prepare, like, you're a geisha, then it's a kind of a lot.
Well, let me just say that it makes... I agree with you, because every time that I have sex now, because I'm not having vaginal sex, I have to do... The seven steps
of heaven.
Well, no, that's just if you... Now I can skip many of those steps because I know how to clean out myself in a way that I don't need even sometimes need to put down a brown how now brown towel, and I don't and all the lube in the land isn't at any time consuming.
You're like a race car, like, that gets like the tires changed,
and my now I'm like a pit stop.
Yeah, you're a pit stop.
And but I will say that it is, there are days like last night I had to get horny enough to motivate me to go prepare, because it's about 15 minutes of squeezing water up your ass and then pushing it out, doing it again, pushing it out, doing it again, pushing it out. Like, it's a lot. At the end of it, you're like, I think I just fucked myself with this thing. Like, I've been penetrated a lot by this little tube. But because the investment,
yes,
you go, oh my God, I put something, I didn't just lay back and get it. I didn't just like put, you know, push my underwear to the side. When you put in work to something, the reward is so much better.
Okay, let's say you do all that work, right?
Yeah.
You already know, I think you know my question.
I don't.
He comes in 45 seconds. How upset are you?
Not upset at all, because you have a dildo next to you that you can finish off the process.
Okay.
Because that does happen a lot. Is like, I, a lot of times with my partner, he will finish and he doesn't even know that I want to keep, like, I don't even know that I want to keep going, because I'm so turned on by them finishing usually,
mm-hmm.
that he will just keep going afterwards without even me asking, with his penis not hard. And like, he's obviously probably not as turned on, but sometimes it oftentimes leads to him getting hard again, because gotcha. He just keeps going. So you have a toy on hand, and I would recommend like anal training kits. There's like, you know, different sized ones that move up and up, and you can do up. You can work with a plug, but I promise you, like, I just think it's
where
this
do you get
thing.
These Toys R Us.
I was trying to think of a Toys R Us pun,
but it's closed.
Gus, like, Lust, Toys R Lust,
Toys R Lust, Sex Toys R Lust.
Yeah,
Boys Fuck Me in My Butt, something like that. My butthole. My anal hole.
I'm want leaking. More people to experience
a thing that I
think has brought me a lot of joy that I just didn't know about. And I was enjoying anal so much before, or R&R so much before I knew all of this. And now I know all of this, and it's like a whole new world.
Does it take away, when it's a delicacy, you know, you eat like, you know, a rainbow roll, which is, you know, $20. So you're like, oh my God, I get a rainbow. But then now you're offering essentially spicy tuna every day. Does that...
Well, then your vagina becomes a delicacy. So whatever you're not doing becomes the thing that you kind of go, oh, well, this will be exciting again once we go back to this thing. And I don't think other couples are going to do anal every time. It is so much work. I have as much as like probably a porn star who films anal. Like, I have to get ready for a scene. But I enjoy investing that time. And like, my partner is really grateful for the time. Like, that I put into it, like, it's something that I can give to our relationship that's like, it's a love language of like anally douching for 15 to 40 minutes.
You also got to get the camera operator, the boom guy, the white noise in the room.
It was interesting last night. My partner said to me,
"Partner sounds so funny."
Well, he's my sex partner. I feel like
my
that's
partner.
The best.
No, it just feels very country.
My partner.
My partner that bought me my booty hole.
And had his spurs on his boots. He said to me, well, top your horse and listen to me for a second. And he tilted his hat.
Uh-huh.
And he said...
what did he say there?
Well, you know, we talk a lot. We fantasize a lot in bed and talk a big game of different things. And it was interesting last
Before
night.
Before you have sex?
No, during.
Oh.
During. And daring. Sorry, did you understand what I was saying? Daring.
Oh, like double dare. Dur.
Daring.
Double dare.
Dur day.
Dur. Fred Durst.
Darest. Do you say Fred Darest?
No,
you
I should. Say Durst.
Okay, well, that's weird.
Yeah.
Doesn't translate.
Especially during a song. Daring.
Daring a Fred Durst song. So
Just kidding.
He said, just kidding. Just kidding. He said to me, if I, you know, it's interesting. Communication, we have the most open communication in bed. Like, I've said things that could probably get me charged with a felony. I'm exaggerating, but like the things I say in bed are wild, and so are the things he says. And
like, I'm going to kill your family and steal their car, something like that.
Were you, I knew you were fucking listening. All right, last night,
dude. It was one time.
And
partner, hey partner,
howdy, ma'am.
Howdy, ma'am. I'm a-
So he did say to me though last night. I'm trying to be very thoughtful when I say this, and I thought it was just so adorable. He was like, you know. Because we're talking about what happens if we take this too long term, like if we get married someday and we're not even boyfriend and girlfriend. But I was like, you know, he knows that I want that someday. And he's like, what if, you know, the things we're talking about doing eventually, which we're now just like fantasizing about. But if we eventually do those things, which are wild things, he's like, what if there's, and he goes, I don't even know if this is true, but what if I don't envision my wife doing those things? And if for me, he goes, I don't think that's going to be the thing, but I'm just worried that if I picture you as a wife, that my idea of those things I might not want to happen to my wife, but to my like partner, to my partner, it's it's fine. And I go, that's kind of what I'm enjoying about this time where I'm not a wife, is like I can be the whore and like be the, you know, kind of the woman that you would never marry. Like, that's kind of the fantasy is like, we talk about that a lot. Like, you know, my fantasies involve like GBs, right? And a lot of times,
GB?
Come on.
GB? BGs. Yeah.
I should call it staying alive. It's GBs, yeah. Gang.
Yeah.
And you can fill in
warfare.
The blank.
Yeah. In your butt.
So a lot of those GBs involved, like in our fantasies, men that are married.
Oh.
And in the fantasy, but that's not what I want to actually happen. But in the fantasy, they are like, there's something about, I like being, it's for me, a woman that involves in a gangbang is like the ultimate like whore. Like, oh my God, she's servicing all these guys and you can't even believe what a whore this girl is. Like, it's almost like the Everest of whoredom. For me, like, and for me as a,
how many guys are we talking?
As many as you like, you know. In my fantasy, it's like 100. Like, it can be so many. It's disgusting.
No, I'm just wondering. I'm not judging. I'm just wondering, like, how many numbers we're thinking.
I say, I mean, like, I've kind of liked the idea of them being like, my wife would never fucking do this. Like, you're such a whore. Like, I'd never marry you. But like, I'm gonna think about this forever when I'm fucking my boring wife. And like. Not that they don't want to marry me, but they I'm a different category. And by the way, this is, I do want to be a wife someday that a guy would think of another woman this way. Like, I'm not trying to be like, I want to steal your man and have him think about me. That's part of a fantasy of like being the ultimate whore is my thing. Okay, so he was saying to me, like, what if, and I was like, that actually fits exactly with what I want. Like, I want to separate those two as well. And he goes, but you might end up, you know, I might end up wanting my wife to do those things, even though we haven't done those things. He was like, I don't know yet, but I'm just wondering if in the future I decide I don't want to do any of the stuff we've been talking about, fantasizing about. I'm like, he's like, would you want to be with me? And I'm like, yes. In fact, I'm terrified of any of the things that we're talking about doing. The idea that you would bring strange men into the bedroom to bang me is horrifying. And he goes, actually, I like that. It was interesting. He goes, because that means if you're scared of it and I'm making you do it, then it isn't you wanting it. It's me. It's still me in control. And it made me think of this thing. And I don't want mean to compare it to the R word. And I'm talking about the real R word. But I was reading on Reddit, and I'm going to get to the news in a second. I'm
Is
sorry.
Is that the
to,
R word?
Well, no, I was reading on Reddit. I was reading on Reddit that... there's so many R words.
There really are.
One's R, coming back.
RR. Yeah.
But this is not R&R. This is like R-A-P and then blank. Mm-hmm. I was reading on Reddit that a lot of there was someone that said, why is all Japanese porn? I really love Japanese porn.
Lord.
But so much of it is like rape. It seems like rape where the girl at first is fighting it off and then she ends up enjoying it. Okay. I don't know this to be true, but a lot of people that were commenting about Japanese porn said that is a like 90% of the porn that's Japanese porn and starring Japanese, you know, porn makers is that version where the girl at first is like, no, no, no. And then she loves it. And the reason is that I read through all of like the kind of people psychoanalyzing this kind of porn and why the Japanese culture tends to drift towards this is because in the Japanese culture, being a woman who enjoys sex is like you're not to be trusted. You might, you know, stray. It's like you are a whore, and like, you know, the same kind of way we look at it.
Start off saying no, you're a good person.
If you're forced into it and you enjoy it after it's, so it's not about rape for them. It's not about like they like to rape women. Like it's about the woman isn't actively loving it until the guy is. It's the guy's idea. Now, I don't mean to compare the two, but it was just an interesting. Because people, I don't want to shame the Japanese culture for having these, because at first I was like, what the fuck? Japanese love rape? And I was like, it is misogynistic that a woman can't have pleasure, and that if she does have pleasure, it means that she's going to abandon her family and abandon her man because she just loves dick so much. I mean, that is just like this false idea of what a woman who enjoys sex is. But it was interesting that the same way that I just love the psychology behind this stuff of like, oh, my partner might be into a GB situation if it's his idea and I'm a little bit nervous. Like he was like, I like the idea that this is a thing you want, but you're also like kind of don't want it, because then that means if you're doing it, it's because I'm your master and I told you have to, even though he secretly knows I want it. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. It's like when you have you ever heard someone tell a story and they're like, I fucking did cocaine and then I fucked this hooker in the ass, and it just feels dirty because they're just so accepting of it. And as a listener, you don't really want to hear how like comfortable they are with, because then you're just like, oh, this is kind of like a bad person.
Oh.
But then if it's like a fish out of water where it's like, I did cocaine and I fucked this
hooker.
You
mean the Andrew Collin act?
Yeah.
Like, your entire comedy act?
Yeah, my entire comedy
act. But you are that way. Like, you're a guy that's done some of those things, been in those situations, but you're always the guy that's like, how did I get here?
Yes. Which, as a listener, it's a little bit more palatable than, because I've been at, like, storytelling events, and just some guy will get, and I'll be like, I've done something similar to that, but I don't feel that great about it. Like that's my personality.
I love that analogy. You're spot on, and I think that's why you're so lovable in the scenarios that you put yourself in, where you're around guys that are that like, oh, let's fuck her, dude, and like, let's just you know. But you're a guy that's just like wants to hang out with the guys, and then you are like suddenly a part of this thing. But you're like you're not like, oh, I'm gonna fuck. Like you don't have that, but you are around guys that like kind of bring you into it. So your story is about those things. Never come off as douchey.
Yeah. So essentially, and they're more interesting. So then if your partner,
howdy,
man. If he rides up on his Clydesdale to the town saloon, and you're sitting there, and you're going, look, I like these five gentlemen here by the bar. I would love.
Oh,
to
I wouldn't
line
say
them.
That.
I'm just
he
saying.
He would have to choose them.
Oh, he goes.
So
he
it's
goes,
his
hey,
idea.
Okay, hey, lady, I know.
Noah, what do you think of all this?
No, I'm saying though the initial thing.
Okay.
Would be bad if you go, I like them five guys. I want to suck all their dicks.
Yes.
He's like, oh, that's a little much.
But
if during it,
this thing that he's forcing me to do, I come around to enjoying it. Well, then he's the one that gave it to me.
Yes.
He's the chef that made the food that I'm enjoying.
And then
so if
he
I like
doesn't
it,
feel like you're as much of a whore.
Exactly.
Which, obviously, all this sounds horrible to like an ear of someone that says, misogynistic. Like,
no, it's based in, you know, ownership of women and thinking women are loose and not to be trusted if they enjoy sex. And like, it's all based on that. But, you know, I am finally in my life not trying. I'm acknowledging that and presenting a way to both acknowledge that men are wired to think a certain way and that they can't help it. And at the same time going, well, how can we fix, how can we got to acknowledge the problem? So the fact that he was able to say, I'm uncomfortable with you wanting it because it makes me feel threatened and insecure that you would want other guys. But if I concoct it in a way that it's my idea, it makes it more palatable for me. That to me is acknowledging the problem and coming up with a solution. Whereas it's not being in denial of just like, no, I just like it that way. He's going, this is why I like it.
Yeah.
Because of the fucked up thinking that is based on the patriarchy. Noah, your face is kind of scrunching.
Oh, no, no, no. I'm taking this all in. I view the bedroom as like an... I'm using a lot of lube.
Nice, Noah. Divide.
I see the bedroom as like an alternate universe.
Yes.
And like, you know, all these fantasies and stuff is between consenting people,
yeah,
adults. And it's just like, hopefully, you can't really compare it to reality. So when you say the R word or all that, like, I don't see it as the same as the crime, right?
Right.
I just see it more of as like fantasy. And,
but that's what people were having a problem with on Reddit.
Word,
the guy on Reddit goes, I love Japanese porn. I love Japanese women. I love he's probably Japanese himself. It could have been, at least. I don't think it was a fetish thing. He said, right, I'm just disturbed that it all seems to be rapey. And this guy was like, I don't want to see women fighting. I go to the end when they're enjoying it. Why does it have to start this way? And it was an interesting thing. Noah, hold on. Before we get to the news, this is news. Last night with my partner, I was just like, you know, talking to him, just, you know, doing things. We were just talking.
Animal balloons?
Yep, making some animal balloons. And I suddenly go, oh my God, I want to separate it with my nose.
Oh!
And I go, listen, I go, my...
Math nerd over here.
Noah told me, he knows of you, obviously, and knows you. I said, Noah, so innocently the other day, said, I don't know, I like to just, and I did an impression of you while I'm like holding a dick. Sorry, Noah. And he's like naked. I go, I don't know, I just, sometimes I like to divide it with my nose. And he laughed so hard. And I go, so can I divide it with my nose? I was like, I know exactly what you're talking about. It's so comforting. I want to do it. So I just put it in my nose and I divided it with my nose. And I go, I'm dividing it with my nose. And I like set it into his asshole, literally, because like, yeah, I literally did an impression of you into his asshole.
Did it echo?
I'm dividing it with my nose.
With my nose, my nose, my nose.
Wait, let me
did it echo?
like yours would. Bats flew out. Oh. Wait, I want to do my best, Noah.
My asshole is bats.
Yeah, I just picture bats like, you know, screeching out. Glad you liked that.
Oh, fuck me.
Wait.
I see them hanging upside down on my hemorrhoid.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I... Oh, yeah, like your hemorrhoid is a stalagmite.
Yeah.
Like one of those dripping cave stalagmites. Okay, we got to get to the news.
Wait. So then you divided it. How did it feel?
It feels so cool. Noah's right. It feels awesome. Girls out there, say... I'm dividing it with my nose when you're down there. It's so cute. And honestly, I think, by the way, that was my favorite moment in the podcast ever.
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 Yeah.
No, it
ever
was
in
the
life,
cutest,
almost
funniest thing I've ever heard, because you said it so instantly and, or you know, like innocently and matter of factly that if you don't know what I'm talking about, it was from like a few days ago, I think.
Yeah, 2 days ago.
When Andrew was in Charleston still, and she said, I don't know, sometimes I just like to just put my nose on, because we were talking about balls, and she goes, and I just like to divide them with my nose. And I'm going to teach my children to do that. I'm going to teach my daughter to go,
yeah,
you know what? You don't need to blow a guy. Just divide it with your nose.
And then I'm going to
carry the one.
Carry the one. Two divided by one is.
And then add a zero to the end and then cut it. Like, I love long division. It's fun. Okay, let's get to the news.
So funny. So if you have 30 ball sacks.
Get to the news. 15.
And you have 15.
You heard it here first.
And you get 15 of them to Jay.
Yeah, you heard it here first.
How many?
15.
Hey, what's up there, folks? I'm back. I know you guys missed me.
We
at least
did.
Two of you. It's Wednesday, so we all know what that means.
Did you listen to my mom?
It's
doing
Wednesday.
Your job?
I have not. I'm a little nervous that she probably did better than me, so I need maybe 2 days.
She was
listen.
Really good, but she wasn't you, Andrew, and you know
yeah.
that. But she was. I
no,
was
I
really
love her.
Proud of her.
I want her to do like Kirsten and stuff, like sit on your chair.
I think it would be so fun.
I love having a third. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's wow. a GB.
GB. Let's gang it
in
up.
Person. In person.
Yeah.
That you pick.
Just kidding.
Just kidding. Just kidding. I don't want Julie on here. All right. Anyways, have all the swells, Julie, out there. I hope you're at a thrift store. You know.
She doesn't listen to the podcast, obviously. She was like, what is all the swells? What is that? That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Let's get to the news. Sorry.
Okay. Researchers find. Okay. This is obviously, you're going to say this is the most apparent paragraph you've ever heard. Researchers find that online daters decide whether to swipe right within a second. And that the attractiveness of a person is what compels people to swipe right and if they accept the date.
I like that you called it the most apparent. I don't know that that's the right word, but yeah, the most obvious.
Yes.
Like, duh.
Results reveal that people who like a profile first are more likely to be accepted by that person, regardless of an unappealing profile or if the person is not as attractive. Dating apps like Match.com, Tinder, okay, 10% of long-lasting adult relationships in America.
Oh, so wait, 10% of adult relationships right now from dating apps.
I would have thought it was more, to be honest.
I would think it was more, too. I think that a lot of those people are lying.
How do you feel about this? If you go to the guy that swipes right and writes you, and you go, what did you think of my third photo? And it, and maybe you make your third photo.
Oh, we're saying this. They don't even look at the other photos?
Yeah, they just swipe right away.
Hmm.
Do you go and you make your third photo, I don't know, like a picture of a dead squirrel? Or maybe that's not a good term. But, you know, like something horrible or something like whatever.
Just what do you me think? When I wake up in the morning. Like puffy eyes, like kind of looking like I was a fight with Tyson. Yeah.
So, and they go, what do you think of that third photo? And they go, oh, I loved it. Oh, what was it?
Well, they would go back and look.
Yeah. But do you think that... would you want a guy to like read your whole profile?
Yeah.
Would you care if it was just one photo and they were like, "Wow, you're hot"?
No, not at all. I feel like, you know, once we go on a date, I would hope that they would look a little bit more. But no, I think that the first photo is absolutely cruche.
Yeah.
And yeah, and that I would, if anything, I would be like a little bit more. I would prefer them to just be like, obviously, you know, as opposed to like, let me see, you know, like,
yeah. When someone goes, I love your like. On Hinge,
yeah,
be like, oh, your top three are this. It's like, do you think I'm hot? Like, what do you like? I don't,
what
I didn't even think
of
these answers. Like, I don't know
so
who
then, wait, I have a
sits
question.
And
then.
Like, all day, huh?
So then in a first, like, a first line, would it be better to comment about like how hot you think someone is or something on their profile? Because usually the profile stuff is an icebreaker.
Agreed. I think that I like Hinge for that. And Bumble has that now going too. Bumble slowly turned into Hinge in terms of like the prompt questions and things like that.
You like a witty line, actually. I've noticed that.
Yeah, I like a witty line and I like good punctuation. I just like a person that doesn't like when you I have recently had a guy that did like two sentences and he didn't put a period in between them. And it was just like, I can't deal with someone who it just tells me who you are in a way that like, I don't, you know. It just was like, it was too weird. And then...
how hot, though, was
oh,
the
my
guy?
God. I matched with this black guy, okay, on Bumble. And I went to go say hi to him. And there's this new feature on Bumble that is just... When you pull up the chat, it's just like, send a hi, send a wave. And I thought it was just going to send a wave. Like, it's a way for girls... I thought for sure it's like, oh, they've adapted to the idea that women... shouldn't be the aggressors, and they're making the most easy way for a girl to flirt without being too aggressive. So it was a hand wave, and they just go, say hello. It was a easy button. I thought it was just going to send a wave to the guy. It sent a GIF of Cardi B going, hey, babe. And I'm like, first of all, this feels like I picked like a GIF that would like, do you understand this?
Yeah.
Is this the version of what, like, it just felt so like, it just picked a random GIF and it just happened to be Cardi B and it's like, it's fine. And I just wrote, oh my God, I don't even know what the fuck that was. I tried to just wave at you. And he goes, I'll just ignore it. And then he went on to use run-on sentences, you know, just sentences that ran into each other and I just couldn't. But, and he said, he was like, oh, I see you're a musician. Cause I have a picture, I guess, where I'm holding a guitar, but, he's like, do you tour? I'm just like, okay, well, this.
You're like, can you just send a GIF instead? Like,
yeah.
And stop trying to write me.
I had a Cardi B just slamming the door. No.
What?
It was just so, it just was so awkward. It seemed like I chose like.
What's a great,
You're stunning.
Well, no. I wasn't going to ask that. If a guy's like a 7 in the looks, right? He looks like me, but a little bit more attractive, maybe. What's a great first about me line that you've seen before that a guy could use or a girl could use in her profile that might counteract the fact that they're not as attractive as they should be? Or could be.
I think just someone saying what they value without being too...
So not too silly?
No, I think being too silly is oftentimes I'm like, wow, they're trying so hard. And a lot of times they don't nail it. Like the one guy that I read to you, we both liked, he was like, I'm a bad boy because I'm bad at everything or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
That was funny.
I like that.
That's hard to do. Don't steal that one though. I want you to come up with your own, you know?
Just steal it.
No, don't. If I find out you stole it, I'm going to be like, ugh. It's like a quote from some movie I'm not privy to, but like everyone knows. I'm going to be like so... And I'm sure that guy didn't come up.
But something in that vein, I think, like, I think...
I like a guy writing, I value blank, blank, and blank. Like, I, you know, these are the things that I enjoy doing. I don't mind a guy that's like, I like the outdoors, politics.
You hate outdoor. You hate when guys write...
No, but if that's telling me who he is, oh, okay. Now I know.
Okay.
You know, I like...
So start off with three... Just write three
things you love, but not saying what you think we want to hear. Like, I think that the best thing to do is, like, we like a guy who knows who he is and isn't doing anything to try to peacock and, like, get us.
I think what a good advice would be is maybe do two broad things. Like, I like outdoors. I love cooking. Like, a joke. And then the third thing, don't make it jokey, though. Just something very specific to you that you really like that maybe not everyone likes.
Yeah, that's funny.
So then we get
funny.
An idea of
that's
them.
Good.
So, like, I love outdoors. I love traveling.
Phobias would be a funny thing.
Oh, yeah. And I'm afraid of spiders. Something like that.
And I'm afraid of, like a fun fact at the last one. And one time I met, you know... Tony Braxton.
Yeah.
Or just like some
random.
And I said,
hey, yeah. With a Cardi B gif.
But sometimes, though, when guys do a interesting fact about themselves, like, and one time I booked a one-way ticket to Africa with no plan. And no,
could be too much.
And I'm just like, that's the one thing you've done cool in your life.
Okay.
And I just go, there's someone who's done one cool thing and they can't stop talking about the thing and I judge that. So it's very tricky.
Ooh, yeah, it is tricky. Yeah, I just showed up to the airport and I said, I just picked the spot on
but
the globe that I was carrying.
Pictures of you with friends is key.
Oh, that was another article that I didn't pick, but something about like you look more attractive.
Smile.
With friends.
Smile.
Than not with friends.
Friends. No, yeah, alone when you...
But you can't be the ugliest out of a friend
but
group.
I don't mind a guy having someone take a picture of him in like a monument or like on a bridge or somewhere cool where he's obviously told someone to take a picture and he's alone. That is so much better than a selfie.
Yeah.
Selfies, I gotta say, I know it might be your only option, but just ask a stranger to take a picture of you.
Here's the problem. It's not so much self, it's also selfie face.
And
you know what I mean? Selfie face is...
Yeah, it's always just like, I'm
just
goofy.
Smile. If you do a selfie, smile maybe.
Yeah.
Like, then it doesn't feel as selfie.
Almost like you're just sending a picture to your mom of like, hi, mom. Like, send a selfie you'd send your mom.
Yes.
Instead of one that you'd send like, that
who
you're
you
trying
think,
to
yes,
look cool.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And also, God, I had one more thing to say. No.
It was a monument standing alone, friends.
Yeah. Oh, I'm begging you, girls that have guy friends that are single, when you think your guy friend looks attractive or is wearing a good outfit, take loads of pictures of him and just send them to him and go, listen, I know you, because he's going to go, no, I don't want that. Just go, it doesn't matter. Just start, say, tell me a story and have them tell you a story where they're smiling a lot. Go fake laugh, just laugh. Then shoot from all the angles and then just airdrop him to the guy. So he has Tinder profile pictures.
Yeah.
Girls, we got to help out our guy friends. Guys ain't taking pics. We're always the one taking pictures. So just do it for your guy friends. They're never going to ask you even though they need it desperately.
All right, next story.
Yeah.
A local news station in Spokane, which we performed.
Spokane, yeah.
Spokane, Washington, aired porn over the shoulder of a meteorologist during a weather report.
13 seconds. Daring. 13 seconds of it. I heard it on the radio this morning.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, yeah, they aired porn.
For 13 seconds.
I mean, that's long enough to get your anal ready. I mean, your R&R.
Excuse me. That's what, you know. That's what we were watching, probably. Are we going to see this?
Oh, well, I wish I could have found the footage, which apparently was of a woman's backside.
That's what I heard. It was her butt.
You see the TV monitor on, like over her shoulder? That's where it aired for 13 seconds. That's a long time on broadcast TV.
So it's a huge, and she didn't know it was there, I'm guessing? Or did she react to it?
Not.
So it's a meteorologist kind of with a TV set behind her shoulder, like on the side of her. And the funny part is like the weather pattern that's behind her right now with the, like the white in the middle looks like a close-up of an asshole.
Yeah. I mean, people called in, they were like, I can't believe
just turn off the TV.
The
people called the
cops. How many of those people looked at porn earlier that day, last night?
They like, just want something to complain about. And it's not like anyone meant to do that. Whoever did it is either like a little scamp that just got fired or it was an accident.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting accident. I mean, how does that even happen?
But like, it is interesting how much people
care
like, when I say I pay for porn on stage and people just kind of go, you know, like it's shocking to pay for porn. Yeah. It's like, it is the only thing in our society, I think, that people just are like,
take for granted.
You pay for that?
Oh, yeah.
It's like, yeah, it's a service. It's
but YouTube's free.
Ads.
Okay. So if porn had ads, you would feel less inclined.
Well, that's why I pay for it. I don't want to put up with ads and I want the extended content.
But porn
content.
Does have ads.
Yeah, not the kind I watch because I pay.
Yeah,
because
you pay.
But like the idea that it's crazy to pay for porn. Because there are places that you can go and not put up with ads, and it's just banners, you know? And it's like,
yes.
I think it's so funny that it's the amount of people that pay for porn versus don't pay for it are very different than people who pay for YouTube Premium and don't.
I think it has, again, it goes back to like the same stigma of like buying things for your butt to clean it is the idea of like, I'm paying for porn. That's like bad. Like, if I'm not paying for it, I'm not really like part of it. I'm better than that.
But if you're not paying for it, I know advertisers are paying for it, but I just feel like we need to, that's why OnlyFans, I'm still subscribed to so many OnlyFans and or Patreons that I don't even use their content. I just want to make sure I'm supporting artists who struggle, but I could do better. I need to do better. All right, let's go to a quick break and then we'll come back with Why Do I Care? Why do I care? Why do I care?
Can I do a left turn here? Okay. So, this is why do I care? But, okay, so there's these two guys on TikTok. I don't know if you've seen them.
No, I haven't.
Everyone's talking about them.
Oh, the Island Boys?
Yes.
I'm not on TikTok.
So there's the Island Boys. They're two twins, right? Yeah. This is what they look like. They look like human cartoon characters.
Oh, my God. They look like, Machine Gun Kelly's...
Sperms.
I was gonna say that they do.
So there's these two brothers, and they're like they blow up.
They're tattooed over, it looks like,
So they 50% wrote this song. They didn't even write it. I think they're just freestyling in a pool, and everyone like I don't know. It's weird when these things catch fire because everyone's like, talking about it. So I want to know your real thoughts on the song.
Great, I can't wait to hear this.
I'm like, cool, I'm staying. They're like, you wanna be famous? I'm trying to be out the greatest. I'm gonna float up.
Can you show it to me? His hair looks like a king crown.
So on Twitter, this video from yesterday has 8.1 million views.
Okay, it's definitely their look.
Boy.
Okay, I like it. I get it.
I actually
I mean, it sounds like Alligator Boy, dude.
That's what I was thinking.
Sing Alligator Boy.
I was going, I'm an alligator boy. I'm an alligator boy.
I mean, Andrew.
Alligator boy.
Did
I think
this.
They copied this fucking song.
I'm an alligator boy.
What?
I'm an alligator boy. You know Alligator Boy?
Alligator boy. I ain't no cracked up kid.
Do you have this documented online or anywhere? I've never
It doesn't sound that much. I mean, it sounds more like I'm an alligator boy. I'm an alligator boy.
No,
I mean, it's not way off.
You start it. No, it's I'm an alligator boy. 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 I ain't no crocodile kid. I'm an alligator boy. I'm an alligator boy.
I'm an alligator boy.
I'm an alligator boy.
But if we did it in a pool,
we gotta do this. We gotta
put our hair up like this.
We gotta go do that.
Oh, we could do it in your
Milwaukee. There's no pools open. This pool down here, we got our pool open today.
Oh, yeah.
We got to do it.
I mean, that's how much we use the pool in the park.
So these guys blew up.
I mean, they're blowing up. I mean, it's a very like 6ix9ine kind of feel, but they're nice kids. Like if you watch their video, like people talk shit a lot about them, and you can respond.
Yeah, they look like they're probably.
And they're
not
like, look,
cool.
I know you have a problem with me. I don't know why you do. I don't have a problem with you. Kind of, they're not like
can
dickheads.
Can you give me one more video of them and see? Just I want to hear them like talk and.
Yeah.
I'm an island boy.
Who got wigs first? Really, he had dreads first. I had curly hair.
Okay, so they're white guys. They look like Pete Davidsons.
Literally the same day. I was not going to get wigged up. He got wigged up. I was like, wait a minute, I like that style. So I just.
Where are they from?
Miami.
Oh, so they're not island boys. Okay, okay. I've seen enough. Yeah, they're gonna be famous. I mean, they are famous. And honestly, okay, we get it.
It's kind of original. It's like it's an individual thing.
I mean,
kind of.
Their hair is insane. It has these. They look like a Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, yeah.
It was, you know, a delinquent.
Tattoo on the face. A lot of people talk shit about tattoo on the face, but
they're
if you want
to
make it
to do that. And if they're going out, they're getting recognized all the time.
Everywhere.
Like that is such a look.
Yeah.
You can't, you know, Judah Friedlander is someone that, you know, everywhere he goes, he has
that
hat.
Same hat.
He looks very distinguishable. You know, you
Little
and I,
Dickie
we
even,
look
like
no, you know, we could be anyone.
Oh, we're
we
the most, we're the most universal looking people
yes.
on earth.
I think we gotta start wearing something like very noticeable and like,
or
my
I
pink
think,
eyeliner might be.
I think though, like take someone like Luke Combs, right? Well, he's a heavier gentleman, but he looks like an everyday trucker.
Yeah.
Like you either got to look like the everyday trucker.
They'll
or
love
the,
it at first, getting recognized all the time. But I bet you it's going to end up being not fun, and they're going to be wearing very thick concealer to cover up. Like they're just so they can, or just flattening.
Any of these people that have tattoos on their face, it's cool. But at 40, even though I got these tattoos, yeah, I was wondering what was happening there.
Do you think it looks like I have an infection?
Yeah.
Oh shit! It doesn't look cool. Okay. Well,
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. But then no. But at first,
the thing is, it's hot pink, which is like not the color of an infection. Let me just look at it.
At first, I thought an infection. I go, what?
Oh, I still like it.
I thought cankers were moving to your eyes. I thought
no.
you had canker eyes.
It's a new.
But this is the honest thing. Then, like, it kind of grew on me throughout the podcast, and I started to like it.
Okay, you liked the pink eye.
So, yeah, at first I was like, oh,
it is a bold
she needs
choice
to get
to put
the
pink
hospital.
On your. I know, but it's both eyes, and it's like I saw
it's
a girl
both
wearing
eyes.
It yesterday.
It's a both.
The girl was
eyes.
20.
It's the both eyes.
Speaking of songs. It's time for Slice of Life. This is our Wednesday segment. It's Wild Card Wednesday, so we always do a different segment. Today, for Wild Card Wednesday, I'm going to, on the podcast video on YouTube, you'll be able to see the video of this, but I got asked by Bob Saget to participate in a charity event that he does every year. It's called it's for the Scleroderma Research Foundation, where scleroderma is a autoimmune disease that is fatal and doesn't have a cure, and it is just it took the life of his sister and still takes the lives of many people, and it's just so many people suffer with it. Not a lot of people know about it. The Scleroderma Research Foundation, look them up. They do like so much good work, and Bob always gets this like cavalcade of comedians and celebrities who send in videos for these events, and usually it's a live event, but the past 2 years have been COVID-y, obviously. And so last year I did a thing, and then this year I decided to do a song. And I asked you and Brenna about it.
Yeah.
I was like, is this a good idea? I decided to take the Full House theme song.
Which you thought was a different song at first.
I know. At first I thought it was Family Matters. I thought it was like, it's a grand tradition. No,
yeah.
that's Full House.
Wait,
I thought it was.
When you take the good, you take. No. That's
no. Family
life.
Matters is. I was going to say, it's a rare condition. It's called scleroderma.
Yeah.
I'd read any news. Like, I was going to do that, but then I realized that's the Family Matters theme song. And then I looked up Full House, and it's everywhere you look,
yes.
Everywhere. So I decided to do that song. I looked up the chords for it. They were not clear, so I just made up my own. They are not right. I am not good. This was a thing I did in two takes because I just didn't have time. But I think it ended up being pretty funny, and I wanted to share it with you guys. And this is something I did while Andrew and Brenna were having sex in the next room, I think.
We were. Miss you, Brenna.
Miss you, baby.
Hi there, it's Nikki Glaser, and I am so honored to be one of Bob's friends that he hits up every year for one of these videos. I hope that you take the time tonight to donate what you can to the Scleroderma Research Foundation. They do such incredible work, and they only really beg us for money once a year. And it warms my heart how much Bob cares and how many texts he sent me over and over reminding me to send this in. So with that, I don't have stand-up comedy to perform for you, but over the past year, I've learned a couple chords, enough to sing this. And whatever happened to Bob Saget's charity? I await my yearly call from him asking me to work for free. But then I get that text from Bob and I say, here we go again. Every October since the day I met Bob, he asked me for content. And I have to look, and I have to look up, how to pronounce scleroderma. But then I read the facts, like how we have no cure. So many still suffer, like crowds when Bob is on tour. Donate to SRF. Fuck you, UNICEF. And every other charity. Just for tonight, at least, please. Then it is Bob, Donate.
That was it.
Have you ever thought about doing I'm a Scladera boy? I'm a Scladera boy.
I didn't think about it. Those guys hadn't come out yet.
That was great, dude.
Thanks. It was it actually really, really well received.
Oh, I'm sure.
And it was very easy to do. It was fun to do. I love
doing stuff. Dude, you can do that shit like that all day. I hate when you say you're not a good songwriter or writer, and then you can.
I mean, I can take an old song and that's so fun.
Yeah, what do you think writing songs is? That's what they all do.
Well, melodies are hard for me to come up with.
Have you tried? I'm a melody boy.
I'm a melody girl. I'm a melody girl. I'm a melody girl. I tried the other day to write a song. It was so embarrassing.
Oh, what was it called?
It was. Oh, you know what? It's. I want to do a song about called. Because I'm so into this artist right now. I know everyone is, and you've tried to get me into her before, but I only like this one song right now. I'm obsessed with it. Maggie Rogers. It's called Back in My Body. I'm obsessed with this song. I can't stop singing it. It's about when she got really famous and was on tour for the first time, and she thought, like, that's all she's wanted to do is, like, be on tour, and it's her out on the road having panic attacks and, like, hating it and wanting to leave and, like, it's just so, anyone can relate to it. I didn't even know it was about her on tour until I read
it. I showed you the video of her with Pharrell.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're out there and you haven't seen this yet, type in Maggie Rogers, Pharrell, NYU.
Yeah.
And it's a tearjerker, I think.
Totally. Yeah. It was, she got discovered by Pharrell. Oh. She's just cool. And, but anyway, the song, what was I getting to? Oh, so I've tried to write a song. I just am... I like songs that have, like, double meaning, obviously, and I think the coolest double meaning I've kind of stumbled upon in my comedy that isn't too sexual or whatever is settling, and, like, we say settle down, and we also say, like, you shouldn't settle. When are you going to settle? Stop, settle down. Like, we say that to someone who's, like, freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
We also tell women, you need to settle down, find someone soon. Like, you need to find a man, settle. You need to settle. When are you going to settle? And also, like, you should never settle. So there's so many different meanings of settle that I think a song about settling would be a cool song.
I think so.
And about, like, the struggle of when to settle and why, and having it be about, like, yeah, and just having it kind of.
Have you tried, like, let me think about. I'm a settling boy. I'm a settling boy.
That just sounds so. Like other things I've heard.
Really?
I don't know. I just feel it's probably original, but it just sounds like a lot of others.
Okay, what about this?
It makes me think of...
I'm settling down.
I'm settling down. I'm settling down. settling down.
Not bad.
Settling down. Well, that's not, that isn't bad, actually.
If you come to me,
I just can't
I'll settle down.
Make a decision. And I watched that YouTube video about writing a song, the YouTube video. And it was just like, it's all, I talked about this in the podcast yesterday in my opening. It's just about making decisions. And the problem with songwriting for me is if I'm, you know, doing A minor, A minor, A, I'm like, but what if there could be a better chord progression? And then I can't land on that. And then I just give up because I'm like, this isn't good enough. Mm. And I just, I always want it. But the thing is, but I think it just has to be anything.
And you then can you, make it simple and then a better guitarist, no offense, can then make it more.
There's a better guitarist out there than me.
I said no offense.
Okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to write a song called Settle Down.
Don't settle. Write it.
I should settle just on a couple chords and then some words and then it's over. Thank you guys so much for listening today. As always, don't be kick and check.